The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you 7 times in one day, and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I'm sorry,' you should forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back. Long ago, C.S. Lewis wrote a sermon. It was called The Weight of Glory. Here's hoping everybody knows who C.S. Lewis is. He's most famous for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And here's hoping maybe you've heard of The Weight of Glory. Here's hoping that you've heard of it. Here's hoping that maybe you've read it. But just in case you haven't, I'll tell you, the most famous part of that sermon's the very end, in which he says that in this life, next to the Blessed Sacrament, the holiest thing you'll ever come across is the presence of Christ in the soul of your neighbor. Next to the Blessed Sacrament, the holiest thing you'll ever come across in this life is the presence of Christ in the soul of your neighbor. In fact, if you could see that presence right now, the way they will be in heaven, you'd be so overwhelmed you might actually think they were God himself. You'd be tempted to fall down and worship him, so great is the presence of Christ in your neighbor. But he also says that side by side with that is this incredible potential, as long as we live, that we could lose it all. So there we are. This is kind of the heart of his sermon here, walking our way through this life, and the weight of glory is like this tightrope walk where we're balancing ourselves between heaven on one hand and hell on the other, the weight of glory. Very heavy burden, like it or not. And Jesus says something like that to us today in this short little gospel with lots of punch. And when he speaks of millstones and mustard seeds here in this gospel, please remember, he's talking to you. This isn't one of those gospels you can check off and say, well, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, because he's not. He says he addressed this to his disciples, which means he addresses these words to you and me. And he says, things that cause sin will inevitably occur. Now, the Greek word for sin is skandala. And you don't need to be a Greek scholar to hear the word scandal in skandala. So he says, things that cause scandal will inevitably occur. Now, take everything you've ever thought about scandal and throw it out the window for just a second, okay? Let's try to understand scandal the way the saints understood the word scandal. So here's Pope St. Pius X's definition of scandal. He said that a scandal is any word or action, by itself or by omission, that leads somebody else to commit a sin. Any word or action, by itself or by omission, that leads somebody else to commit a sin, that's a scandal. That's why Jesus says these will inevitably occur. I'd love to say this never, I'm innocent of that, but I can't say that. I bet you can't say that either. And he says, better that you have a millstone put around your neck than that you lead one of these little ones to sin. And you hear that, and most people think to themselves that Jesus is talking about small children. And you say, well, at least I've never caused a small child to sin, so, you know, mark me off as safe. Well, not so fast, amigo. There happens to be a Greek word for small children, and Jesus doesn't use it here. The Greek word for small children is paideia. Jesus uses a very good generic word for little here. He uses the word micros. You've heard of microeconomics or microscope. I mean, anything small. So when Jesus says one of these little ones, cause one of these little ones to sin, he's talking not only about small children, he's talking about anybody who might be small in faith. Now, that's a very, very heavy burden to carry. And he says, better for you that you have a millstone put around your neck. I went to the Sea of Galilee once and I saw one of these millstones that Jesus is talking about here. Now, it's a stone wheel. It's got a hole in the middle, and you put a wooden beam through that hole, and you hitch up the other end of the wooden beam to an animal, and he walks around in a circle, and you use that stone wheel to press out grapes or olive oil or anything else that you want to press out in a stone press. But you look at the millstone itself, and you realize the hole in the middle is just about the size of a human head, which means that once that thing goes on, it ain't never coming off. It's an image for hell. Very heavy burden, right? Very, very heavy burden. However, Jesus once said, blessed are those who show mercy, mercy shall be theirs. And in this same gospel, he gives us two merciful outs to get the millstone off of our heads. He says, forgive other people and practice fraternal correction. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Listen, one of the reasons why you have so many things that happen to you in the course of a day for which you need to forgive others, one of the reasons why it's so hard for you to forgive others, even of one offense, and that you have to forgive them in the privacy of your mind over and over and over again, is because there's so much that we ourselves need to be forgiven of. Practice forgiveness, and you might just get that millstone off your neck. The other one is fraternal correction. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Now, this is really hard. But would you believe that it's a spiritual work of mercy to admonish the sinner? It's no act of love to sit there in silence when someone is walking the wrong path and just say nothing. Now, I don't like doing it either. It's really hard, which is why almost nobody does it. But here's again something that we really need. Just a tiny little word of advice if you're going to practice fraternal correction. Just a tiny little word of advice. Do it gently. Do it tactfully. And do it only once. Don't be a nag. But simply say what needs to be said to help somebody else. And you might just get that millstone off your neck. Right? That's the good news. A little bit more good news is the power of your good example is equally strong. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. And when Jesus says that, you know he's not talking about a capricious trick by which some tree goes flying across the sky and headed to Ocean City. You know that. What's he talking about? He's talking about the power of your good example that can uproot even deeply rooted things and send them to the last place you'd ever expect. Believe it or not, your good example, and especially the true, the good example of holy people and innocent souls, have the power to uproot even deeply rooted sins and send them into repentance, the last place you'd ever expect. So, tough message today. The weight of glory, the burden, and the responsibility. Whether you like it or not, you are right now, every day, causing either great good or great harm. Whether you like it or not, the stakes are very high. So let's now, with the strength that comes from the Eucharist, be witnesses to Christ and signs of hope to one another. Amen.